Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 96.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. As usual, we are kicking off the episode by reading out one of the lovely reviews we've received. I figure that these are good for new listeners, of which we've actually got quite a few. I was noticing there's some more people popping up in our stats there, and so they can kind of get a bit of a grip of what we're all about before they, you know, hear us talking and go, nah, don't want to listen to this podcast. So this one comes from MickP83, and Mick, who I could be a boy or a girl, who knows, Straight and Curly have made Wednesdays great again. Make yourself a cuppa, pop on an episode and feel like you're sitting around the kitchen table having a chat with two awesome human beings. Carly and Kelly are honest, insightful, amusing and creative. They never fail to inspire me as I walk my path learning how to be a better version of me.
Aww. Thank you, Mick. That is a really...
Isn't that so nice?
That's such a lovely thing to hear. And I know the things you get a kick out of, but I get a real kick out of knowing that we make Wednesdays specifically better for people. Like, lots of people have told us, like,
me too,
that we are their regular Wednesday commute podcast. And it just really makes our day to hear that. So, yes, thank you very much,
Mick. I also love it when people tell us that we give them good ideas and that they've implemented things and it's changed stuff that it's changed a thing in their lives. I love that so much.
Yeah, that is amazing. I appreciate that too. Now, Carly, today we are tackling. It's funny. I've just finished telling Carly how like I felt really inarticulate, like, you know, the last, you know, few episodes that I've recorded because I've had a bit of a big year and I've got a lot on my mind. She assures me I haven't been, but let me know in the group if you...
I haven't.
Yeah, let me know in the group if you guys have been thinking, gosh, what's wrong with Kelly? She's a bit off her game this year. Anyway, so I just finished telling Carly I've been feeling inarticulate, but how I've been feeling good today. And then I fluffed up the "this is episode 96" intro to this episode, like I had to do it again. You know,
to be fair, I did write episode 93 yeah, instead of 96.
But I changed it before I said it. And now I can't even talk. So, you know, no better way to set yourself up for failure than to pat yourself on the back and tell you how well you're doing something. Anyway, today's episode is a very tricky topic. And Carly, what is it?
It is. So this topic comes up quite often and we've already done an episode on it, but I really think it deserves a revisit because it's such a weird beast of a thing. But today we're going to tackle the topic of confidence. I know a lot of our listeners struggle with this in general and also targeted confidence in certain aspects of their lives. So we thought we'd do some research and try to get to the bottom of what confidence is and how we can achieve it. So Kelly, where do you think you sit with the whole confidence thing? Do you think you're confident in general, and if yes, did that confidence come naturally to you?
So I, for as long as I can remember, have been a confident person, and I reflect on this often because I want my kids to be confident kids. So I'm like, what made me confident? Because I want to give that to my kids. I think it comes from three things. So the first thing is I am lucky enough to be naturally wired that way, and I do use the word lucky deliberately there because I think it's important to acknowledge luck in our lives and not pretend that everything comes from hard work or intention. I am legitimately hardwired to just be naturally confident, and for that I am eternally, eternally grateful. That said, I have always had parents who just encouraged me to try whatever it was that I wanted to try, no matter how random or weird. Like things like in high school, I wanted to do swimming training and try out for the swim team, even though I have never in my life been a good swimmer, much less good enough to be on a swim team. And never did my parents say, why would you want to do that? You are a shit swimmer. They just were like, okay, Kelly, no worries. We shall take you to swimming training until that point at which you don't get into the team. And then at which point they, you know, instead of going, well, we told you not to go to swimming training because you're no good at it. Like they were just like, okay, well, you didn't get in the team. Now what's the next thing? So they were really great at whenever I failed at something, which was often because I just tried everything. I just loved trying. And I think that's because they encouraged me to love trying. When I failed, you know, they just said, oh, well, you know, it didn't work out, move on. So I kind of got the, you know, I didn't grow up thinking failure was a terrible thing. I grew up seeing it as a learning experience. And my one brush with a lack of confidence was when I had postnatal depression after I had Mia. And I was really stunned by just how that felt to have the confidence sucked out of you. Like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I stood for. I couldn't make decisions because I didn't have the confidence to stand behind my decisions. So it was a really weird and disconcerting period in my life, and I was very paralyzed. And so I do have, even though I'm a naturally confident person, I do have an understanding of what it feels like to not be confident. So yeah. So what about you, Carl?
Just to ruminate on what you just said then, I think that's a really interesting thing about looking at your own privilege in terms of anything in your life. So for instance, I'm mentally very well. I don't have any mental health issues that are ongoing, which is great. But occasionally I will have just a crippling few months of, you know, depression or heaviness or anxiety and that kind of thing. And I think that there's a really big difference between that being an ongoing problem and also something that kind of pops up every now and then. They just need to be dealt with in different ways. And I just, yeah, I just really appreciate you, and you know, me as well, because I'm in the same boat as you, but just like checking your privilege in terms of the confidence thing, because I'm the same. I think I'm naturally wired to be a confident person. And also I was raised by parents who encouraged me to do anything that I wanted to do and very effectively workshop failure with me. So I never was told that failure was my fault, and I was never made to feel bad for failing. It was like, oh, well, didn't work out, let's try something else. Or, oh, well, didn't work out, maybe you didn't try hard enough. And often that was true. Like, you know, maybe you should have studied for that test and things would have worked out a bit differently. That kind of thing. So, so yeah, I am pretty confident. I certainly experience bouts of crippling self-doubt, but that's part of the whole imposter syndrome thing, which I suffer from really, really hardcore. So for those of you who aren't aware of this, imposter syndrome, it's also known as the imposter phenomenon, fraud syndrome, or the imposter experience. And it's a concept that describes individuals who are marked by an inability to internalize their accomplishments, and they have a persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. So it basically means that you're unable to digest your own successes and you tend to chalk them up to luck, being in the right place at the right time, or minimizing your achievements by saying, well, the best person didn't compete, so that's the only reason why I won. To be fair, though, that's an incredibly Australian thing. So you only have to go – it's unbelievable. Like, you only have to go to America to realize how backwards we are about celebrating our own successes and selling ourselves, because, like – I went to New York in 2011 and went to a few fashion events, and the way Americans can sit there and just say, you know, I'm smart, I'm confident, and you just sit there like, and they all do it. And it's just, as an Australian, I sit there going, you can't just say those things about yourself. That's just not the way we do things. Aren't you going to like call yourself fat and then say you're a loser and then laugh about it? It was just so confronting to me, which is terrible. Like, that's terrible. I think it's such, we need to do more of that and to celebrate our own successes and not self-deprecate so much all the time like Australians do. So I think also a lot of that imposter syndrome stuff and any lack of confidence, well, any confidence I do have comes down to the fact that I was a really chubby child and teenager. So I was never celebrated for being an attractive little girl. So I learned pretty quickly that I had to earn my gold stars in other ways by being, you know, funny and smart and useful. Those are all the things that no one can take away from you. And like, I'm a normal-ish sized person now, but you know, that changes all the time. A year ago, I was bigger than I am now. You know, 5 years ago, I was smaller than I am now. So my size changes all the time, but it's always stayed with me how precarious physical attractiveness is. So my self-worth has it, which sounds so ridiculous me saying this when I've spent the last year focusing on losing weight, but my self-worth has never been tied to how thin I am or what my skin looks like or whether or not I have a good haircut, because all of that's crap anyway. And I didn't have the option of building my confidence up based on the way that I look. So no one can take away what I've built, because it's, you know, it's based on being smart, being informed,
having great opinions about things. Does
yeah,
that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And yeah, it makes me realize how much of my self-worth is tied up in my appearance. And I might need to workshop that little one a little bit with my therapist. Speaking of therapy, that is my first tip. When it comes to confidence, there's a lot of complicated things that lie behind a lack of confidence. And I think that understanding what things sit behind it goes a long way to helping you address it. So I think if you just come at it as I lack confidence and I need to be more confident, I think you're making life really difficult for yourself because then you're going to be finding yourself faking it till you make it kind of thing. I think if you are able to see a therapist and get an understanding of what drives that feeling, because a lot of people, it's situational. So it's like they're confident in this area of their life, but totally not in this area of their life. If you get an understanding for, you know, where these lacks of confidence is coming from, you know, your therapist will also help you formulate, you know, they won't just help you identify where it might come from. They'll help you formulate steps for addressing it. And they'll also keep you accountable so that if you keep going back to them, they'll work through it with you and figure out what works and what doesn't work. Because like everything, there's no flick of a switch type of thing. Like if you just do this one magical thing, like all of a sudden you'll be this magical confident person. There's hard work that's going to lie behind it, especially if it's a lifelong thing that you've had. So working with someone in a very intentional and ongoing way to address the problem is going to give you better results than, you know, say, listening to us on a podcast, throw ideas around. Just saying. What's your first tip, Carl?
My first tip is to be competent. So a lack of confidence can often come from not really knowing what the hell you're doing. For instance, confidence definitely played a part in getting this podcast off the ground, but Kelly and I still had to learn to research, record, promote, and run this podcast. We had to listen back to our first few awful, awful episodes to make improvements on the way that, you know, we spoke and we presented. And, you know, it sounds like Kelly and I just whack together some thoughts and record every week, but there's research and reflection and time and a lot of discussion that goes into what we do here. And that's where our confidence to pull off this project comes from. So we don't claim to be experts in anything, but we do know that we're confident in our own abilities to research and be able to comment on the topics that we pick. So you can apply this logic to almost anything in your life, you know, like work and hobbies and family. It's like preparing a speech in high school. Your confidence is elevated when you're totally prepared. You've got your notes. You know what you're talking about. If you didn't prepare a speech and you phone it in on the day, you're going to suck. You're going to get up in front of the class and go, it's like, have you guys heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect? So this is a thing where the less competent a person is, the more confident they are. It's absolutely bonkers, but there's so much scientific research that shows it's an actual thing. And this is why idiots can achieve extraordinary levels of success simply by believing that they're way more excellent than they are. I mean, can we just look at Trump for a second here? Seriously, like he's the president. He's the president. And that had to have come from his own positive self-talk because he's a moron. Like he's an absolute dead set moron. And the way that he got to where he is now is by truly believing that he's an extraordinary human. So if you're a dipshit and you truly believe that you're an excellent human and you can become president, why not if you're actually a really awesome person and you constantly doubt yourself that you think you're an amazing person? Think about what you can actually do then.
I know. Isn't that one of the craziest things in life that just drives me nuts is that this? I know so many awesome people who do not believe in themselves and I just look at them and go, oh my God,
yeah.
There are so many people out there who are Trumps, who are idiots and yet they think they're amazing and yet they achieve these amazing things, not because they're amazing, but because I think they are. It's such a weird thing.
And tell everyone they are.
It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
My second tip is, this is something I was kind of throwing around in the group last week. So thanks to everybody who helped me tease out this conversation because I just kind of had this thought in my head and I was like, I wonder if this stands up. And I guess it needs context, but my idea is to seek meaning and connection instead of confidence. Like, so instead of your goal being, I want to be more confident, seek out meaning and connection instead. And the context around this is I get a lot of emails on the topic of confidence because I have a blog post on my site that ranks really high for how to get your confidence back on Google. And so I got an email from someone the other day and, you know, it was a very typical situation of like kind of stasis, like this person had gotten stuck. They're depressed as well, and depression saps confidence. That's actually my next tip, so I'm kind of going to that already. But yeah, they were depressed, but they're lacking confidence, and they were saying, what do I need to do to get it back? And I said to them, you might be better served seeking something that makes your life more meaningful or gives you a feeling of feeling more connected, because, you know, like joining a club of a sort or being, you know, a part of a team or signing up for a course, because when you do these things, like first of all, you're learning something new. And when you learn something new, that boosts your confidence. Second of all, you're meeting like-minded people. So you're connecting to other people that you didn't have a connection before. And you're being part of something that is bigger than yourself. And I just think when you combine these things, confidence, a lot of confidence can come out of that. But it takes the pressure off that whole, I need to get more confidence. What can I do to get it back kind of feeling? So, yeah, I kind of like come at it from a different direction is, I guess, what I'm saying.
I completely agree. And I think that comes down to finding communities and hobbies and people that you can really connect with, because like as a teacher, I've watched kids go from barely saying a word in class to joining a football team and suddenly making a million friends. It's that kind of thing that just, you know, teaches people how to interact with other people, teaches you how to not view other people as scary and other as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So my number two is to ask for feedback. So talk to your peers or superiors and ask them what they think your strengths are. Humans are notoriously shit at self-evaluation, and you might be amazing at something that you didn't even realize. I once worked with a really, really shy woman who barely said anything, but when she did, it was always like we'd be sitting around at the table and, you know, people would be gossiping about other people that weren't there and in other departments. And anytime she spoke, she would just gently steer the conversation away from gossip or people being bitchy. And she just did it really, really regularly. And I privately told her once how wonderful I thought that was. And she just like blushed right up to her hairline. And she didn't even know that she'd been doing it. And then after I told her that, she started engaging in conversations more and just was this really wonderful and positive influence on the conversation. So I'm so pleased I told her that, because it gave her confidence to keep contributing to the conversation, and her contributions were so worthwhile and she didn't even know. So I was really pleased about that. So just ask people what they appreciate about you. It's a weird thing to do. Like, I know it's really weird.
But do it anyway.
And also it's not chances are you've literally never done this before. So it's not like everyone in your office is going to be going, oh, Kathy's going around asking everyone like what's awesome about her. Like, what a weirdo. I mean, obviously don't do it every week for the rest of your life. Just do it once and move on.
Or get together with five friends and do it all for each other, or just, make us something, make something out of it. I think it's I once wrote eulogies for like kind of three or four of my best friends, which was like weird. But I kind of wanted to – I just kind of thought I never tell them what exactly it is about them that makes them such a special friend to me. So I kind of, went out of my way to write these – yes, pretended I was writing a eulogy for them and use that as an opportunity to tell them why they were special to my life specifically. So there's all sorts of little things that you can do to, make that kind of happen. I think it's a cool idea.
I really like it. And I mean, like, that's lovely and creepy. And I think it's a great idea for people who are in a really good place in their lives to write eulogies for their friends.
Yes, definitely.
Just for an example, though, I once had someone tell me that I always make people feel included in group situations. And it was just the nicest thing to hear. And I didn't even know that I was doing it. But now that I know that someone noticed me doing that, if I'm in a group situation and I see that someone's feeling left out, I always make the effort to include that person because that person told me that she noticed me doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like when you amplify someone's good qualities, it just Time's the binary.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. So my third one I did mention while I was talking about my last tip, but do check for depression, because the thing with depression is it is this very, very insidious thing. Like, depression doesn't generally, like, one day you're not depressed and one day you are. It is quite an insidious thing, and it creeps in very slowly, and it very slowly chips away at your confidence, so much so that you don't really realize it's happening. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, you get to thinking, this, you know, this is who I am. Like, you know, so because depression saps your energy, it makes you uninterested in things. And then you just get to thinking, like, this is who I am. So when I had postnatal depression, like, I didn't want to leave the house. Like, the simplest things just overwhelmed me. And I got to thinking, well, this is just who I am now. And so it's just, and you know, and I'm like kind of the, one of the most confident people I know. So if I can get to thinking like that, pretty much anyone can. So if you're finding yourself in this way, depression is nothing to be ashamed about. We do need to remove the stigma around these mental illnesses. They are just illnesses like anything else. Go see your doctor. Getting therapy, getting medication to help with the depression will just help you remember that this person isn't who you are, and it can help you get back to who you want to be. So yes, that's that one.
My third one is just so callous coming off the back of your last one. It's horrible. So my tip number three is to get over yourself, guys. Seriously. Can we please just put like an imaginary line in between what Kelly just said and what I'm about to say, so I don't sound like a complete asshole? So this is barring any kind of, you know, mental illness or depression, obviously. This is just your bog standard everyday people who are feeling a bit sorry for themselves. So most confidence issues arise because we assume that other people think about us way more often than they actually do. So I've brought this up a few times on the podcast, but really think about how often you think about people who aren't your immediate family or you don't see every day, like high school friends or distant relatives. So unless they text you or call you or pop up on your Facebook, I bet good money that you can go a few days without thinking about most of the people in your life. And if you reverse that thought and apply it to how often people are thinking about you, the answer is almost never. And I think that is such an amazing thought. So if you're having one of those moments where you feel like everyone thinks you're an idiot, just say to yourself, no one gives a shit. And everyone has far bigger stuff to worry about than what you said at the school gate this morning, or that your jeans are a little bit tighter than they used to be.
And this is true. So yes, as callous and as full on as that sounds, it's also true. So
immediately after what you said,
it just was bad, juxtaposition.
Bad timing.
My fourth tip is to try a physical challenge. So I remember in my very, very early days of triathlon, I did a beginner's triathlon course. And the people who were in that course, just there was a huge range of body types and athletic abilities, like literally the full spectrum. And a lot of these people did not consider themselves sporty. And, you know, they signed up for the course because they'd been dragged along by a friend, or they were doing it for work, or just whatever. And as with all beginner type courses, it was set up to take people from zero to hero in around 8 weeks. So it was catered for people who had zero athletic ability, and it was very gently, you know, staged to get people to the finish line of a short triathlon. And it was so amazing to see the people who signed up for this course who were full of self-doubt and thinking, oh yeah, as if I'm actually going to be able to do a triathlon at the end. Like, they signed up thinking, I'll do it, but I doubt I'll actually be able to do this thing we're supposed to do at the finish. But, you know, they did it, and it was, I just got such a kick out of seeing how it completely transformed how they saw themselves. And, you know, many of them kept going and doing triathlons, and it changed their whole lifestyle because it changed who they surrounded themselves with, and it changed who they saw themselves as, and it totally changed how they came at life because of it. So I'm not saying do a triathlon, but like, there is something about physical challenges, like, you know, big walks or treks. Like, I have a friend who did a 100K walk last year. Oh my God, I could never, ever, ever do that. Or, you know, the big bike rides, like the, you know, 100K bike ride in a day, or the multi-day bike rides that they do for charity, you know, or runs or multidiscipline events. All of these events are very, very accessible and inclusive. and they just change who you are as a person. They totally change how you see yourself. Yeah, I don't know what it is about the physical events, but they just do that. So, yes, that's my fourth tip.
I love that one, Kel. I think it's awesome. Yeah. My number four is that if you don't like something about yourself, fix it. So if you never speak up in meetings at work because you don't understand what everyone is talking about, learn what everyone is talking about. If you don't like that you're not a brilliant speller, concentrate on becoming a better speller. There's nothing that will boost your confidence more than a little self-improvement. And if there's something you find that's more difficult to fix, fail quickly and move on to something else. Like if you just dwell on your perceived faults, it's not going to help boost your confidence. Come back to those problems later when you're feeling stronger. So yeah, just have a think about the things that you don't like and that make you less confident and fix them.
Yeah. And it's totally doable. I mean, it's not, again, we're not trying to advocate any kind of quick fixes, but a lot of these things are simpler than we think. So sometimes it is as simple as going, yeah, I'm not good at this thing. What can I do to be better at it? And then doing it. It's, yeah, it can be that simple.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, because we were talking a few episodes ago about how I changed from being someone who didn't like moving into someone who exercises, you know, six times a week. And one of the reasons why I did that was that I didn't like being the overweight girl who didn't want to go on hikes on the weekend. I didn't like being that person. And so I worked really hard to change into the type of person who was like, yeah, I'd love to go for a big hike this weekend. And, you know, I can, you know, play football on the weekends with people. And I wanted to be a fit person. So I changed it.
And it can be that same. It may not happen overnight. It will probably won't happen overnight.
Oh, it so doesn't happen overnight. But, yeah. Guys, it literally does not happen overnight. Not for shit.
Cool. Okay. So my final tip is to help someone else. And it sort of comes back to my second tip about seeking meaning and connection, but it is worth repeating. So humans are hardwired for connection. And when we feel connected, we feel more sure of our place in the world. And when we help others, our lives have more meaning. And when your life has meaning and connection, you feel happy. When you feel happy, you come at the world more confidently. So all these things feed each other. So if you're really, really struggling for confidence, just identify a way you can help another person. And honestly, it does not matter how small. Like you can help another person by telling them that they look nice today, you know, or you liked how they did that thing, or you liked how they spoke in the meeting. Like there's tiny things that you can do. Like you can help people just by noticing them, because so few of us actually take time to notice things these days. And a lot of us feel very invisible or feel like our efforts are invisible. So if you take the time to just simply notice, that's helping a person. Don't do it with any expectations. Just help for the sake of helping and just do it with curiosity. See where it takes you. And I think that's a good tiny little thing that you can do that can set you on your way.
That's a lovely one. Oh, I feel like you're just such a better person than I am in this episode. I'm just like, get your shit together, guys. And Kelly's like, make lovely, meaningful connections. So my fifth one is to get your confidence sorted out or risk screwing up your career. So I did a lot of research for this podcast on confidence in women, and it's a very significant issue for women, particularly in the workplace. And I found an amazing article in The Atlantic, and I've got a quote that I wanted to read from it. A growing body of evidence shows just how devastating a lack of confidence can be. Success, it turns out, correlates just as closely with confidence as it does with competence. No wonder that women, despite all our progress, are still woefully underrepresented at the highest levels. All of that is the bad news. The good news is that with work, confidence can be acquired, which means that the confidence gap, in turn, can be closed. So this article said that in studies, men overestimate their abilities and performance, and women underestimate both. Their performances do not differ in quality. So Hewlett-Packard discovered like many years ago, trying to figure out how to get more women into top management positions in their company. They did a review of personnel records and they found that women working at Hewlett-Packard applied for a promotion only when they believed they met 100% of the qualifications listed for the job. Men were happy to apply when they thought they could meet 60% of the job requirements. And at Hewlett-Packard, in study after study, the data confirmed what we already knew, which is underqualified and underprepared men don't think twice about leaning in. Overqualified and overprepared women still hold back. So women feel confident confident only when they're perfect or when they're practically perfect. So, I mean, I don't know like what is going to incentivize people to get a confidence makeover, but the fact that this is a thing that doesn't affect men and does affect women, and if you are a woman, as most of our listeners are, your career can be severely impacted by your lack of confidence. And it really is just, it's a cultural thing that women have had to deal with for centuries, and where it's such an exciting time for women and for equality, and you owe it to yourself and you owe it to other women to work on your confidence and be the badass that you know you can be at work.
Ooh, I like that. There's a big rev up to finish the show. Thank you,
pal. You're welcome. So that just about wraps it up. And don't forget that we do have a book available for sale. It's about diets and lifestyle detoxes. You can grab it at straightandcurly.com. Just click through to the book tab.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. We've also got I always say that bit about Patreon next, and I totally forgot to say it. So Patreon, Kelly,
yes,
go.
So we do have a Patreon page, and we have two goals for it. The first is to get to $500 a month of pledges, and we are a quarter of the way there now. And all that that does is it just allows us to pay our production costs for the show. It doesn't send us zipping around in Ferraris or anything. So where can you support us on Patreon? It's patreon.com/straightandcurly.
I'd also like to thank our newest patrons, Emily and Penny. You guys are
definitely
awesome.
And yeah, so challenge for today. I don't know, like challenge versus, I think I'd love to get a conversation happening around this topic in the group. So I do always kind of post an image and a notification whenever we have a new show. So find the notification for this episode, which is episode 96, and come and tell us about your experiences with confidence. So we're particularly interested to hear about the things you did or do that give you a huge confidence boost. And that's actually it for the current season as well. We will be taking a short break, but never fear, we will be back before you have the chance to miss us. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.